Blog Talk Radio.
When I was a little girl,
Ship of Zion. Your host is Overseer Janice Sword. I am so delighted to be able to come back across these airways and skyways once again, bringing unto you the divine word of truth. I hope and I pray that you're having a delightful day on today. I hope and I pray that all is well in your family circle, and I hope and pray that all continually to be well with you and yours. Hallelujah. And I just want to take this podium on this evening to send condolences out to those of you that have lost loved ones in the last 72 hours, the last 48 hours, last 24 hours, last 8 hours, last 4 hours, even moments ago. And we want you to know that you are not alone in your hour of despair. We want you to know that you have pilgrims that's praying with you and for you in your hour of bereavement. And may God restore your joy and restoration unto your soul. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. All right, I thank you for tuning in. Those of you that are able to tune in on this evening, I'm coming in early on today, and I thank those of you that just so graciously tune in to the Old Ship of Zion, and for doing so, God has a blessing engraved with your name on it. Hallelujah. And so I just want you to get all of your digital devices. May it be your computer, may it be your laptop, or may it be your, hallelujah, may it be your smartphone, may it be your laptop. I don't know if I've already said that, but if I have, just forgive me. Don't charge it to my heart, but charge it to my head. So just bring all your digital devices and bring them aboard, hallelujah, for we are in need of them, hallelujah. So we just thank you, like I said, once again for tuning in on today, and we just thank God for you, you, and you. And so I want to take this opportunity to just give thanks to our Lord and Savior that made all this possible, because without him, we would not be able to congregate and unite around this planet, hallelujah, as we are on today. So I just, like I said, I just thank you for just being a continual, loyal, and faithful listener of the Old Ship of Zion. And may God bless you, hallelujah. May God bless you real good. And I know that he is, because he said in his word that he blesses a cheerful giver. And so in that retrospect, we know that God is a God of his word. God's word said that before Al Jot, that's J-O-T, of God's word returned back void, that heaven and earth shall pass away. So that means that this earth is going to move itself off of its foundation into the sea. So we know that God's word have not and it shall not ever return back unto himself, without accomplishing what he has set it out to do. So we know that God is going to bless you for whatever you have rendered unto God. God is going to bless you. May it be financially, may it be in other means, but God has his own way in which he wants to present his blessing unto you, you and you. So I want you to get your good seat. I have the chat room open for your sitting capabilities and your listening pleasure. And so we're going to go right now, without any further ado, we're going to go right now into our opening prayer. I'm asking all of those of you that will to bow your beautiful heads as we go down in prayer. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for enabling us together in unity, God, once again around the spectrum. For we know that this earthly soil that we're treading on, God, is not our eternal destination. But we know that you have lying in waiting a mansion that's not built by mortal man. But until you crack those clouds one historical day, we will continue upward and onward in your will and in your way. Mounting up from the four corners of this earth, coming together as pilgrims from the north, south, east, and west, through this barren land. And I'm asking you on this afternoon, God, to anoint these lifts of clay. Anoint me, God, to bring a rhema word, God, to those that may, then again, may not know of you and the pardons, God, of their iniquity. Grace me, your servant, with words, hallelujah, of encouragement, words of wisdom to each and every one that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their very heart and soul. We'll be so mindful, God, to give your name the glory, honor, and praise. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And let the cathedral, temple of God, say amen and amen. Hallelujah. Your program is the Old Shepherd Zion. Your host is Overseer Janice Ward. And if you have any prayer petitions that you would want to bring before the feet of God, and you would like the Old Ship of Zion to just touch and agree with you, you're welcome to come in and call into the station and talk with the moderator, and that's yours truly. And at the end of this program, you're welcome to call in. Our request lines will open at that time, so you can call in and speak live with Overseer Janice Ward. So right now, we're going to take you on into a service that's already in progression. Hallelujah. And so our sermon on today entitled, Adjust Your Conscience. I want to say that one more time. Adjust your conscience. And we're going to read from our first key scripture. And it reads like this. I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and man. And that scripture reading, my brother and my sisters, coming out of the law of Acts 24 and 16. All right, we're going to go to our second key scripture, and it reads this. He who doubt is condemned if he eats because he does not eat from faith, for whatever is not from faith is sin. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Romans 14 and 23. All right, we're going to keep it moving. This is our third key scripture, and it reads this. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. And our final key scripture reading for today is this. When Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Matthew 14 and 14. Hallelujah. So we are talking about our conscience, the way we're thinking inside of ourselves. You ever thought about, you know, when you're driving on the road, even if it's the side road, if it's the shoulder road, if it's just your local street and avenue that you're commencing upon. You find out that you can come to a four-way stop and you know that you made it there first and maybe someone else came in line second, but here come a third individual come at the four-way stop, and though he was the last one to approach the stop sign, he feel that in his heart he should go first. So he just move out there without, you know, it being his turn. So that means that he moved out without having a conscious and making a conscious decision on him moving out into traffic because, mind you, it is not his time to proceed, but it is the time of the person that came into play at the first beginning and the onset of this four-way stop sign. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about our conscious and having a consciousness of thought and our deeds and our attitudes and our words that may violate him or her, that offend one another. So that's why we're talking about adjust your conscience. Hallelujah. We know that built into our nature is an internal judicial system. The conscience that commends us when we do right and condemns you and I and us when we do wrong. But this vile monitor of mortality does not say the same thing to everyone. We find out that in some cultures, vengeful killing is seen as honorable in others. A person is still considered good even when he betrays a friend. There was an article in a Philadelphia Inquirer. It illustrates this problem that there was a 12-year-old boy whom was caught stealing a watch. He told the policeman that previously, he had shoplifted a gift for his mother, and he left, and he had to do the same for his dad. Although troubled about slighting his father, he had no qualms about stealing. The story goes on to say, because of sin, conscience is unreliable, and it needs a continual adjustment. This began with the right relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus paid sin penalty, and now hearts are sprinkled from an evil conscience. Hebrews 10 and 22. But this does not make conscience obsolete. As we study our scriptures, the Holy Spirit puts our inner monitor on a frequency that brings us in tune with the words and the deeds and the attitude of Lord Jesus. So the Bible told you and I and us, let your conscience be your guide. It is valid only if God's words is guiding your conscience. Sometimes people can say things without even loved ones and friends and colleagues and constituents, business partners, even our nurse or doctors, sometime without giving a second thought. I remember vividly when my mother was dying with carcinoma of cancer, and she would drive herself back and forth to the hospital without the company of anyone. But one day I decided that, Mother, next time that you go to the doctor, I will accompany you to the doctor's office. And I kept my word to my mother. And when she went into the doctor's office, the doctor didn't have any problem. He didn't have a consciousness about how he approached my mother being his client with the news that she had only 1 year to live. Hallelujah. He told her to her face. He didn't try to proceed it with gentleness at heart, but he just told her, just blot out said, Miss Ramsey, you have only 1 year to live. And at that point, I could only feel the devastation that was going through my mother's mind and through her body and her extremities. And my heart became broken right there on the spot. I began to weep, I imagine, and just feel just a compassion of just, oh, Lord. I mean, words is just hard to even put in perspective, but I'll tell you, my heart just went out to my mother, knowing that the doctor has told her right here, right now, before me and her, that she was going to die. My mother didn't say anything. It's, you got to be kidding or any of the sort. But my mother just took the news, hallelujah, with boldness as a, I would say, a true soldier of Jesus Christ. And I don't say that I could have done the same thing. I don't imagine being put on the spot as my mother were if I could comprehend that the way that she did in such grace and pause, I tell you. But the doctor didn't have any problem. We're talking about adjusting our conscience. So the doctor didn't have any problem how he ministered that devastation of news to his patient. And the patient just happened to be my mother, my dearly beloved mother. Hallelujah. So the Bible tells us that there is a treasure you can own that greater than a crown or a throne. A conscious good with which to live that only God himself can give. We know that conscience is like a sundial when the truth of God shines on it. It points in the right direction. We're talking about yours and mine's and our conscience and our consciousness of heart. Do we think before we speak sometimes? Do we get the consult from God? Or are we just talking from our own point of view? We know sometimes our conscience needs an adjustment. It needs to be put on the adjustment dial to operate in the tune of God, under the direction, under the anointing of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You know, it's just like a person telling you that in 24 hours you're going to receive $1 million. And you know that you don't have any suits before the judgment seat of the law. Therefore, how would you be in to receive millions? And you would say that person got to be out of his or her mind telling me that I am to receive $1 million in less than 24 hours for nothing. You see, if that person told you that upon his own consciousness, it will become insufficient. It is powerless because it is not from the source of God, but it is from the source of the human conscience. And it is not of God. And therefore, when 24 hours is upon you, you have not, will not, shall not receive the $1 million that was promised, because it is from the natural consciousness of human and mankind. But when you get under the consciousness and the righteousness that lines up with God's word, and what you say to a person under the leading of God will come to be in effect. It will compel that person. See, God is the only one that can compel the heart of man and woman. Just like if you lay hands on a person and you pray the prayer of faith. When you pray the prayer of faith under the consciousness of God and the Spirit of God, then that individual will become healed. Why, you might ask, Overseer Ward? Because you are under the direction and the spiritualness and the consciousness of God, not of self, but of God. So we're talking about adjusting yours and mine and our consciousness. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. And so, I would like to share another story with you. It is about a man who was getting ready to attend a banquet. He wanted to put on a white shirt he had worn on a previous occasion. So he was inspecting it carefully to see if it was dirty. His wife noticed that he was noticed what he was doing and called out, "Remember, dear, if doubtful, don't." The issue was settled because the man threw the shirt into the laundry hamper. You see, that wife advice reminds me of the principles in today's text. It's a principle that you can apply and I can apply and we can apply to questionable matters in our daily lives, in our daily matters of conscience. If doubtful, then don't. The doubtful things Apostle Paul wrote about in Romans 14 has to do with meat and wine, considered to be unclean by some, but not by others. He indicated that if we had doubt about whether an action is right or wrong, and we do it anyway, our action is not from faith and is therefore a sin. He also pointed out that it is wrong to do anything by which a brother in Christ stumbles or is offended or is made weak. So you and I and us, we must never give another Christian a reason to violate his or her consciousness. When faced with questionable practices and troubled conscience, you and I and us, we should do well to make this our guideline. If it's doubtful, then don't. Hallelujah, we know that there is a treasure you can own that's greater than a crown of thrones. This treasure is a conscience clear that brings the sweetest peace and cheer. So one little word can spare us a lot of trouble, and that is, my sister and my brother, that is no. We're talking about adjust your conscience. Let your conscience be your guide. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. The most inspiring act of human love are only a shadow of the immeasurable gift that our Savior has given you and I and us. Paul writes that, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for yours and mine and our sake he became poor, that through his poverty might become rich." That scripture reading is coming out of the law of 2 Corinthians 8:9. We know that Jesus Christ left his glory in heaven and died on the cross for our sins so that we could be forgiven through faith in him. His sacrifice was based on his love, not on his merit. All you and I and us are to do, we are to have the love of the Savior, his loving gift and his grace to us. God give his grace so rich, so free, No one will deny that, for he has promised in his word an infinite supply. Grace, we know that it is an unearned blessing to unworthy sinners like you and I. Hallelujah. We were sinners before God came into our lives. Cleanse us. He cleansed us inside and out and made us new and improved. Hallelujah. New and improved human beings. That Jesus is not ashamed to call us his own. He's not ashamed to call you and I heirs and joint heirs of Christ. Why? Because we have changed our lives. We made a conscious decision from the world of sin into a world of righteousness to fulfill, hallelujah, the commandment of Jesus Christ. And that's what I'm talking about today, is speaking under the consciousness of righteousness, of righteous living, of righteous doing in deeds and words and attitude. Hallelujah. That guides our spiritual mind, our spiritual heart, and to do right. When the devil wants to tell you to do wrong, you make a conscious, righteous decision to omit what the devil is saying to you, to turn a deaf ear what the enemy is saying to you, and to say, devil, you's a liar. You's a liar. I'm not going to run that red light. I'm not going to run that stop sign. Hallelujah. But I'm going to stop because it is the law, because it's the right thing to do. You made a righteous decision to stop at the stop sign, to stop at the red light, to stop because pedestrians are walking across the street. You made a conscious decision to stop because someone just ran out in front of your car without any warning at all. But you made a conscious decision to stop on a dime. Hallelujah. We're talking about adjust your conscience. We know that the principles of revenge is so much simpler to practice, yet compassion is Christ's way. A deep caring for the physical, emotions, and spiritual needs of the whole person. It reveals the heart of God for sinful people, for you and for me. We read about the feeding of the 5,000 was a miracle born out of compassion. Jesus was moved by the physical and spiritual needs of his people. In the law of Matthew 14:14 and Mark 6:34, he was not content just to teach them and then send them upon their way. But as Christians, you and I and us, we must look at the whole person through the eyes of Jesus Christ, not through the natural eyes of the human being, but through the spiritual lenses of God. Being moved by compassion, always send the right signal. And if you don't have an adjust conscience at this time, I would compel you to pray this prayer of faith, to ask God to give you a heart of sympathy, give you a heart of sympathetic and tender loving like Jesus, like thine, Jesus, like thine. Touched by the needs that are surging around me and fill me with compassion divine. We find out that compassion is love in action. So, our sermon on today entitled Adjust Your Conscience. God is telling us to adjust our conscience in words, in deeds, in our demeanor, in our attitudes. Things that guides our conscience in the spiritual avenue of God, that it doesn't offend, it doesn't violate anyone. Swain and Dayton, I hope and I pray that I've said something to terminate your spirit and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, have any prayer petitions you would want the old ship of Zion to go down in prayer on your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. This program has been the Old Ship of Zion. It's been produced by Blog Talk Radio. You can log on to our web address at www.JaniceWardMinistries.org. Till we meet again across these airways and skyways, you're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. Buckle up with Jesus at your will because he is people friendly. Hallelujah. You're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. We're going to now change the dynamics of this program. We're going to now turn you over to our second phase, and that is Hymns of Zion. Uplift your spirit and encourage your heart. Till we meet again, my friend, my sister, and my brother, you go in God and allow God to go in you. We're going to turn you now over to Hymns of Zion.
Won't come. hit the floor, say a prayer, start working. You gotta do something. Start right to crawl before you walk. Start right to walk before you run ahead. But if you run again, what you never got, gotta do something.
Thank you.
lights ring out, everybody running for the joy. Now you're on your knees, singing naughty. You help me get through, I'll treat you for eternity. Slipping on your phone. Before you knew it, you slipped and then flipped up off the road. Ah, now you're praying, hoping for a bright light. If I make it, God, I swear I'm gonna act.
Go ahead and turn back. You're never too far to be don't you can't order us. They looking so confused. What's the formula? We just really want more of a guy. Now we don't want more of us, cause he did it. We giving him thanks even when they ain't awarding us. In them strip clubs, money drugs, come on, cause you borrowing us. We've heard it all before, and I'm still under pressure. That sort of stuff, we were made for more though. But number one though, so you thank Christ. That lip turns on ain't nice if you ain't about that life.
Why for you for me? Nothing, no, nothing. Why for
just have no way to be. With fire. bad if I had your eyes. I could love them, have more compassion, and I would understand what I'm going through while I'm gone. I'd be more patient. God, help me to see things the way you see things. Did I already say, help me to be patient?